Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 99 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. If you are wondering why the introduction sounds a little bit sultrier and all around better than it usually is, that is because today you are joined by me, Christian Hoffer, my co-host, Megan Peters, but not Jim Viscardi.
He's gone.
Megan,
where'd he go?
Yeah. Well, we had a tribal council and we finally voted him off the island. We figured it was time. You know, it's been 99 episodes. He's had a pretty good audition run, and he just wasn't cutting it. So we got rid of him.
We had to cut him before the big 100.
I mean, exactly.
You know, it couldn't be fair.
Otherwise, yeah.
But to be serious, he's actually just in New York. He has been vaccinated, and he has been able to see his family, who has also been vaccinated. So we are very happy for Jim, despite all of the grief that we give him. Yeah. And when I say we, I mean, Christian.
So. I mean, yeah, no, that let's be real. Like, you know, I am a little bit jealous of Jim flaunting his fully vaccinated state, running about in states that, you know, leaving his house for the first time in the year. You know, this is not something us mere mortals who have only received one of their vaccinations has been able to, you know, participate in. But soon. Soon,
everyone. But yes, so welcome to the show. Yeah. Hopefully you're okay with the two of us today.
Yeah, it'll be a lot more of a civil affair. Me and Megan are a lot nicer to each other than we are to Jim. So if you are here to see us, you know, go and beat down Jim, you'll have to wait until episode 100. But we are, you know, we've got, we will be building up 2 weeks worth of insults to just unleash at him at the beginning of the episode. So anyways, this, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, this is a Pokemon podcast. We talk about all things Pokemon. We talk about the video games. We talk about the mobile games. We talk about the cards. We talk about the merchandise. We talk about the anime. We talk about, I don't know, if it has Pokemon in the name or is somehow Pokemon adjacent, we talk about it. That is what we do. Megan and I are both the Pokemon experts for comicbook.com. And so every Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern time, we go and chit chat about Pokemon for about an hour. And you can, you know, either watch us live on Twitch, which we have a growing community who goes and joins us and, you know, listens to us ramble about Pokemon every week, or you can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, and those are going up live on Monday afternoons. So you can hop in there, you know, hop in and listen pretty quickly after we record these things. So anyways, we got a lot of cool stuff to talk about. So I guess we will dive right in as I pull up the script list. Usually, you know, Jim takes care of all of the, like, you know, transitional stuff. I'm pretty terrible about it. You know, we're going to actually talk about something that I think is super interesting that, Megan, you wrote about last week. There is a new Pokemon tabletop game coming out.
Oh, yeah.
In Japan. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
All right, guys. So if you've ever played, like, the board game Operation, you kind of basically will understand what this board game is about. So in Japan, they have released a kind of kid-friendly tabletop game where you have like a little base Pikachu and it has its tail kind of sticking out and the little zigzaggy forms that we're used to. And the purpose of the game is you're supposed to be able to trace the outline of the tail with a metal kind of rod, basically. And if you touch the sides of the tail where it's kind of all metal, it'll buzz furiously like you're being electrocuted. So you're basically getting the chance to experience what Ash Ketchum has experienced multiple times in his life of just being absolutely electrocuted.
So this is not like the like the Dare games where they actually shock you. We are not actually torturing and tasing children with Pikachu. Although, you know, that could be a more adult version of this game, you know, because they do that thing. And, you know, in Japan, they have those little shockers where you like hang on until somebody gets shocked, like the pain just increases and increases. And that would be something in the Pokemon style. So do you think this game is going to come out in Japan at all?
I mean, so I can't remember exactly the company who's making this in Japan. I don't have much familiarity with it. I feel like this would be an excellent game to kind of bring to the US. It doesn't actually shock you, so they don't have to worry about any like lawsuits or anything like what you might see with those Dare games, which fun fact, we do have one of those games at the comic book offices, which I've not been in for over a year now, and they will shock you. So this Pikachu game, I would love so I could replace the one in their office and not be scared every time someone challenges me. I think it would be a great kind of game to bring over. It's not very expensive in Japan either. I'm not sure how the import licensing fees would affect that here in the US, but I definitely love the idea of that game. And in the comment section, a lot of our viewers are super excited about like what an actual Pokemon operations game would look like. Like actually, like that'd be horrifying. Like you could like pluck Pokeballs out, like the little berries, like you could pluck those out of like Pikachu's stomach. Like, I know that's never going to happen because that's like a little like too dark edge, like we've discussed on this podcast before, but I would love it.
Yeah. I was about to say, I think if there would be a Pokemon operation game, it would probably be like a Snorlax, like, you know, doing an operation on like a Snorlax or maybe a Grimer, where you're pulling out various items. You know, you say, you know, like, you know, you don't think that they would make a Pokemon operation, but, you know, that is one of the games that does regularly get, like, licenses. Like, I've seen everything from, like, The Nightmare Before Christmas, you know, get it. So, like, it seems like every year they come out with a couple of new versions of an operation game. So it's not impossible. And, you know, it's really interesting. The other thing that I do besides Pokemon, is, you know, I do a lot of tabletop board games, like, and, it's really interesting because Japan, a lot of their board games are, really focused on dexterity based. In fact, like, you know, there's a really popular, board game in Japan that was basically all about teaching kids how to use chopsticks because, chopsticks were kind of like they noted that there was like a decline in the use of chopsticks and they considered that to be a cultural thing. So they developed all these board games around like, you know, using chopsticks that became really popular. But I've noticed that a lot of like the really popular Japanese games that have come over here to the United States have been dexterity based. And this is another one because like it, because you have like a hook and you're kind of like trying to follow Pikachu's tail up and around. So it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool game.
It's really interesting because it's basically like a blank slate. You can do whatever you want with this game. You can treat it as just like a basic, you know, don't touch the edge of this tabletop. But I was actually able to kind of see a set of the instructions from this game that was posted online and was able to get it translated so I could, you know, understand what was happening. And it gives you like 20 different like rules options for how to play the game. And one that I thought was really interesting was it was basically like you're supposed to do it in the shortest amount of time possible without touching the side, obviously. And in that time period, you're supposed to be competing to see who can name the most Pokemon in order. Like, I was like, I don't even know. Like, I could do the first, I could do 150. I could probably do the second gen. But like, you're supposed to challenge each other based on like generations. And I was like, I'd be fine like for the first two. But when I got to three, I don't think I could do it in order anymore. I'd be after the starters, I'd be like.
Well, and, you know, well, here's the other thing when I guess, you know, talking about the, you know, the order of Pokemon. Once you get to Gen 3, they switched up the Pokedexes. So, you know, they start going to regional Pokedexes. So it's a lot harder for you to see that order in the, in the games themselves. Like, you know, that's around the time that the orders, I feel like, start to get de-emphasized. Because, you know, Gen 1, Gen 2, it was like, oh, here's the Pokedex, and you could see the Pokedex, and there's all 150, and then all 251. But then when you got to the Gen 3 games, you know, that's when they started doing the regional stuff, and that national Pokedex started its grand de-emphasis to now it's not even in the games anymore. You know, and that, you know, people have opinions about that, so...
Yeah. All I can say is I hope this game does come to the U.S. And if it does, I hear, you know, once everything is social distance, we finished our vaccinations for Christian Hoffer because we are mere mortals and plebeians compared to Jim Viscardi.
Yeah.
We will gather and play the game on a special Twitch episode.
Yeah, no, that would be awesome. Like, you know, do that actually in studio, you know. In our brand new comic book offices, when that is allowed to happen in the distant future.
Distant future, but yes. Here, I've made the promise. Everyone keep it up to it. I've made it without any authorization, by the way, but I would like to see it happen.
It's official. It's been said, you know, Jim, if you have a problem with it, speak up now.
Anyone in the comment section? Nope, one there. Okay. All right, we're good.
Done. So let's move on. Let's talk about actually what's probably the biggest Pokemon-ish news story of the week. Not exactly Pokemon related. It's Pokemon related, but not straight Pokemon news. But this was probably the biggest story in the Pokemon franchise for this week. Niantic is working on a new game with Nintendo.
Is it Harry Potter?
No. They have learned from their mistakes. You will not be capturing and torturing Harry Potter or whatever it is that game does today. Who even knows what the heck? They have announced a partnership with Niantic, or with Nintendo. Niantic has announced a partnership with Nintendo to make new Nintendo mobile apps. The first one of these will be Pikmin. It is not called Pikmin Go. They were very specific to state it is not called Pikmin Go, but it is going to be a game in which Pikmin follow you around in the real world. Megan, your thoughts?
I am stupidly excited. I'm like stupidly excited. So here's the thing. I was also very excited for Harry Potter. We know how that went. However, I will say Niantic and Pokemon have had a very good relationship. I mean, despite all the crap people tend to give Niantic, they've had a very, you know, abundant relationship in terms of what they've done with, you know, brand synergy, et cetera, et cetera. A bunch of business terms that I won't get into here. I think Nintendo will be able to match that level, basically. So I'm excited to see Pikmin. I will say, though, it's definitely going to cater to a much smaller audience. So obviously we're going to have to taper expectations. The brand notability of Pikmin at least in the West, in the United States, where I live. it's definitely less than Pokemon, as you can expect. But I love Pikmin. I've always loved Pikmin. I think I've played all the Pikmin games. So I'm very excited to see kind of how this game flourishes and what the next license could be with this partnership with Niantic and Nintendo.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, you know, Pikmin is only the first. And, you know, the thing is with Niantic and their entire strategy is, you know, Pokemon Go and to a lesser extent Ingress, which was their first game, you know, they use that to build this pretty robust database of real world locations, real world places, all of the stuff that you see in Pokemon Go. You know, that was all community developed, which is pretty crazy when you think about it, that you know, it was us, you know, the players who built up that database, and now they are leveraging that where they have the availability to make these games. I'm really interested to see what it will involve. You know, obviously the Pikmin franchise is much smaller. I mean, there's what, like maybe a dozen different kinds of Pikmin, if that.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious to see what the gameplay will be like. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm also, I think even more exciting than Pikmin, and I like the Pikmin franchise. They're fun. It's a fun game to play. I'm excited to, like, you know, turn around and see a bunch of little Pikmin following me around. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see what other Nintendo properties they are going to do next. Like, yeah. I'm pretty convinced, you know, my dream list would include like Animal Crossing.
Don't even. Yeah, I would lose my mind. I mean, I feel obviously, like, for me, Legend of Zelda. I was going to say,
you know, the Zelda Legend game Zelda. With like the Koroks.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that you would know, be perfect.
Like I don't think we'll ever get like a like you know Legend of Zelda Go in which you go and like I don't yeah. know run around with Link or something like that. But you know yeah. the Koroks, I think you know that is definitely a doable thing where you go and find little Koroks spread across mm-hmm. the world and you get like. Benefits or something like that. Like, you know, I think there's a lot of things and I'm curious to see if they start to branch out more, mm-hmm. you know, from their AR style. Like, you know, obviously I think that Niantic is always going to do, you know, kind of what we see in Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
But, you know, I am curious because, you know, as they dabble with others, you know, some of these other franchises, maybe we'll see more hybrid style stuff. You know, maybe you collect power-ups in the real world that you use in mobile gameplay or something yeah. like that.
I think it would be really interesting. And if anyone listening on our Twitch stream has an idea of what they want to see Nintendo do with this partnership, please let us know. Because I mean, immediately I thought of Animal Crossing and Legend of Zelda. Animal Crossing is probably the most obvious. It has a history of mobile app presence, mm-hmm. a successful history at that. It's sold a bajillion copies. New Horizons is a behemoth when it comes to sales in Japan and outside of Japan. So that is a very obvious thing for them to kind of test run. I'd be curious to see what that is. If you could like choose to like move your favorite animals into your real life neighbor, like your real neighborhood, like that yeah. would be so cool to me. Again, Legend of Zelda, I mean, what you said with the Koroks, that would be so great. And the timing based on whenever Breath of the Wild 2 comes out, that would be just chef's kiss perfection.
This year.
Yeah, fingers crossed, we'll see. But again, like, I'd almost be curious. There's just so many, like, I would also kind of hope, I know it's not going to happen, but like my dream would be like Metroid or something. I know that's not going to happen. But everyone wants Metroid and it never happens. It never happens, but I can hope.
I was thinking, you know, this would be a good way to revitalize some of those like lesser, you know, some of the franchises that definitely have fan followings, but have kind of gone dormant. Like F-Zero mm-hmm. is another one. You know, and of course, you know, you'd have your stuff like Mario. Like, my kid would love, like, a freaking Mario game.
Yeah, I mean, Mario's like, the biggest, because, I mean...
You know, I'm really curious. I would be really curious to see what a Mario AR game would be like. I'm sure it's doable. Mm-hmm. You know, people in the comment section are talking about Smash Brothers, a Smash Brothers AR. You know, like I said, there's a lot of possibilities. It just depends on how much Niantic seems to be willing to branch out of mm-hmm. of their you know, because if you play any of these games, Ingress, Pokemon Go, or even you know, Wizards Unite, they all follow the same basic game loop, and that's mm-hmm. a perfectly fine game loop. Like, you know, like, that is not a knock on Niantic. I mean, I like playing Pokemon Go. I mean, you know, we're about to dive into a bunch of Pokemon Go stuff after we finish talking about this. So yeah, I'm really curious to see, because here's the other thing that got announced to this. The Pikmin game will be Niantic's, the first game that comes out of Niantic's Tokyo Game Studio. In, I think, like 2017 or 2018, when they raised a bunch of capital, you know, leveraging the fact that they were, you know, making literal bags of cash off of Pokemon Go, they went and opened up a game studio in Tokyo. Which operates separately from their San Francisco office. And they've always had like people over in Japan. But, you know, it could be curious to see if we get a different style of game coming from the secondary studio. Let's move on since we're talking about Pokemon Go. Let's talk about what's coming up in Pokemon Go, as we have a pretty big slate of stuff coming in April. A bunch of different events. The biggest one, and the one that I want to talk about at least, is the Sustainability Week event. Did you see this at all, Megan?
I did see it. I thought it was super interesting. So I'd like to know more.
Yeah. So basically, this event will be coming up on April 20th to April 25th. It is a sustainability-themed event. Now, we don't know what that means, but apparently, Pokemon like Grimer and Trubbish and other pollution-themed Pokemon are going to be appearing in the wild, and it will be up to the players to clean them up and catch them. So this will be a trash-gathering event designed to do environmental, sustainability. I think it was really interesting. That is one of the more novel new concepts. I'm assuming this is going to come with some sort of global challenge. I think it's a fun, cool event. Like, you know, like I'll be honest, March's events are kind of like blasé to me. I didn't really care for them that much at all. The charge up event didn't do anything for me. The weather week.
I mean, March was definitely a slower thing happening. But again, I mean, Pokemon as a whole was kind of busy. So I understand that they had their priorities. So that's okay.
They had to have some cool down. So some other stuff that are coming up in Pokemon Go is, the breakthrough will be Frillish this month, which, okay.
It's a thing.
Yeah, I'm not complaining too much because I don't have Frillish's evolved form yet. So I'll take another Frillish. The Therian forms, or Tornadus and Landorus, will both be popping up throughout the month of April. They're going to be bringing back the incarnate forms at the very end of the month. We're getting a spring event because we don't call it Easter, but it's, you know, all about we're getting more Flower Crown Pokemon. God help us all.
Chansey Flower Crown. I like it. I'm with it.
It is Happiny, Chansey, and Blissey. All three of them are getting Flower Crowns. Assumably, Flower Crown Eevee will be making its return too. I can't help but think that we'll be getting that again. We're getting some sort of Rivals Week, which will feature some brand new Pokemon. Brand new to Pokemon Go. Everyone's pretty sure this is going to be the fossil Pokemon for Gen 6 will be the ones that are featured in that. And we'll be ending the month with a Friendship Day. Also, we didn't talk about this last week, but Snivy will be the Community Day Pokemon, which, you know, I like getting new shinies, and that is about the extent of what I'll say about that. Snivy, I have nothing against Snivy. It's a perfectly fine Pokemon.
When they did that like global Pokemon popularity poll, Snivy was like in the top 10. So
really?
Yeah, I forget exactly who it was. I mean, it was held in Japan, but it was open to the entire world. It was a very limited voting poll. But yeah, Snivy was like in the top 10 or something. So that's a controversial opinion.
I was not aware that Snivy was that popular. So a lot of Pokemon Go stuff coming up. We will talk a lot more about Pokemon Go over the course of the next month because, you know, that is the predominant news cycle that just keeps running and running. We have some more stuff to talk about, including our deep dive and our PokeFact of the week. But first, we have to go and do our ad break. So we will be back in approximately 1 minute.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back. It has been an excruciatingly long time since we saw you last, but we are back, and now it is time to talk about our deep dive. You know,
which
I was going
bugs. Bugs.
Yeah, we're talking about bugs for our deep dive. You know, it was funny. I was about to tweet during the minute long break, and then I realized that, oh no, I actually have to pay attention this time around. Usually, I mess around during my minute long break, but I was going to tweet that, you know, like with Jim away, like, you know, I'm the captain now. Get that meme out there. But you know, it is Jim's birthday this month. So be sure to wish him a happy birthday on the Twitters.
Send him pictures of Geodude.
Yes.
With birthday hats.
You know, more importantly, send him pictures of rocks and say it's Geodude.
I mean, what's the difference?
There's literally no difference.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about Geodude the other day, actually, with the Pokemon Snap, new Pokemon Snap. And I was thinking, you know, because in the anime, you know, Geodude like floats around like he's like some sort of like hovering beholder or something like that. But, you know, in the games, you know, they talk about how Geodude, you know, crawls. And we don't really see that. Like, you know, if you pull up like the walking Geodudes from, you know, Let's Go or Sword and Shield, I don't think we get the weird, like, you know, zombie crawl Geodude. But I was just thinking, you know, since new Pokemon Snap, quite frankly, seems to offer a more accurate Pokemon experience if we would get the creepy crawly Geodude. Because that's a really, when you think about it, it's a rock with hands. It gets around by like literally like army crawling everywhere. That's just freaky. Can you just
that's
imagine?
Horrifying.
Yeah.
That's something like Out of the Ring, like Geodude crawling out of a TV.
Oh man, duh. Like, you know, like no wonder Jim likes it, because it is just a horrifying to think about Pokemon. A literal rock with arms that crawls everywhere, with a very angry looking face. Man, what a just an awful and terrible Pokemon. Oh man. Anyways, wow. Speaking of awful and terrible things, actually not really. Some surprising Pokemon news got brought up this week, and we are going to talk about it as our deep dive. So, Megan, did you get a chance to take a look at these weirdo bugs?
Yes. So, thanks to Hoffer, who wrote it up on the site, I was immediately like, what is happening? So for anybody who does not know, you know, life imitates art in a lot of ways, and a lot of, you know, real life scientists, biologists, people who are on the forefront of discovery and exploration when it comes to living things, tend to name their discoveries after Pokemon. And that happened yet again. Three Australian beetles were discovered as a new, you know, species by actually a super famous, like, beetle scientist, which I didn't know that was a job. And it's not the job for me, but like each to their own. And they named the three beetle species because they are so rare after the three legendary birds.
Yeah. So we got Let me pull it up so I can butcher the spelling.
Yeah, this is the time when we're about to butcher a lot of words.
I don't think this one is too hard to pronounce. The genus of beetles is Binburum. So it's mm-hmm. Binburum articuno, Binburum moltres, and Binburum zapdos. They look absolutely nothing like.
Oh yeah.
The Pokemon. The reason they got named this way is because they were incredibly rare. It was a pair of beetle researchers. They're called entomologists. Are those who study bugs. Basically, this very famous beetle professor discovered the Binburum genus, and then his colleague who was in Australia and was like going through his beetle collection found some more of them, and this guy he's like yeah, I'm a big Pokemon nerd, so I'm gonna name them after his Pokemon, after some of his favorite Pokemon, because they were particularly rare. Our producer will appreciate this. He found another Binburum beetle, or no, it's not a Binburum. It's a different type of beetle that he named after Digimon. So we had both Pokemon and Digimon get named by this guy, it is great to see. You sometimes forget that all these scientists are big old nerds too, just like the rest of us, you know.
I gotta shout out in the comments. Alumax said, "Well, the bug catcher kids do grow up at some point," and if that isn't the most accurate comment, all those bug catchers that you laid waste to in the game ultimately grew up and discovered new creatures, which they were able to name after Pokemon. So, really, who's the winner here?
Yeah, and you know this exactly. This follows, like, we had a mouse that was named after Pikachu. We've had a few different species of various types of creatures get named after
Pokemon. Yeah, I've been looking some up. Obviously, the one that is most important to our conversation today is, I'm going to mess up this pronunciation. I'm so sorry. But the Bulbasaurus phylorhynchus, the Bulbasaur dinosaur. That they discovered way back ago. Basically, in 2017, Roger Smith was in South Africa and discovered a new type of fossil set that he has decided to name after Bulbasaur, and the Phyloxyron means leaf razor. So basically, it's Bulbasaur leaf razor the dinosaur. That is the Pokemon.
Well, now I have to like actually look this up.
You not know? Am I the first one to tell you this? Oh,
I did not know this.
Yes, the species name is Phyloxyron, and that means leaf razor. And then they were named Bulbasaur because the genus of dinosaur fossil that was discovered, they have a very bulbous nasal passage, which Bulbasaur also has. Obviously, that is why they went with that name.
I am looking this up now, and the best part about it is they're like, no, it was not directly named after Bulbasaur. And then it actually has like the leaf razor, and everyone's like, mm-hmm, yeah, sure, yeah, buddy.
We might have bought it if it was just Bulbasaurus, because we could be like, okay, but then it's the second half of its name translates to leaf razor. So we'll leave that up to you.
Yeah.
Aerodactyl also has a fossil set named after it. Aerodactylus scolopaceps. I have no idea. I am doing so many people wrong with my pronunciations. It's an animal that was believed to have been on Earth 150 million years ago, discovered in 1850. However, in 2014, they were able to get more information and officially named it Aerodactylus. So,
what a bunch of nerds.
Pokemon nerds coming up. Obviously, Weedle has one. Weedle, though, is not based after a fossil discovered in 2011. The Stentorceps Weedle is a wasp, actually. So that makes sense.
Makes sense.
You know, totally makes sense. And then obviously, because this is Pokemon, Charizard does have a creature named after it. The Chikola Charizard is an insect, which is thought to be one of the most durable insects in the world. It can survive in areas that are 2,000 meters above sea level. So
Of course Charizard gets the gets the whole look how cool and awesome Charizard. I'm sure that actual real life bug can has two different mega evolutions, Gigantamax form.
And the best part about this insect is that it was discovered by Spencer Monckton, who's a Canadian entomologist, and he previously named a bee he discovered after the Charizard, and then this one came through, and it was just, we got to do it, Chocola Charizard. So anyways, you needed bug information.
Well, and the fun thing about all of this is, as you mentioned at the beginning of the segment, this is really a case of life imitating art, which, then again, was art imitating life, because the creator of the Pokemon franchise, Satoshi Tajiri, was a big, as a kid, he was obsessed with collecting and catching bugs. The Bug Catcher Kid is the creator of the franchise. And, that love of catching bugs translated, as he started to come up with concepts for his very own video game. That is how we got the original Pocket Monsters concept, based on this entire going out into the wild, catching bugs in different types of ways, finding different variants of it and all that sort of stuff. And, that was all based on his childhood of collecting bugs. And, part of the reason why when you play the Pokemon games, you are playing as a 10-year-old kid every single time. Even when you are apparently a 10-year-old ninja in the upcoming Pokemon Legends game, you're still a kid. That is all inspired off of, the actual act of bug catching. Collecting bugs is a little bit more popular over in Japan as a hobby than it is in the United States. Although a lot of kids still do it in the United States. I do know more than one entomologist, weirdly enough. Pretty cool. That is a pretty cool thing.
Now that I've seen the list of Pokemon that have, creatures named after them, I'm just really upset, I guess disappointed maybe is the better word, that no one has bothered to name something after Vaporeon.
I would assume that if something were to get named after Vaporeon, the issue I feel like is, Vaporeon, as it is kind of a sleek water cat, it kind of limits it. You either have some sort of some sort of reptilian lizard, perhaps. I guess maybe a fish if it has a cool frill, or something like an otter or something like that. The problem is as you get into bugs, we have no idea how many bugs are out there. But when it comes to when it comes to those bigger creatures, we could get a Vaporeon fish. But the problem is when I look at, Vaporeon, I would think it would be really cool to name an otter after Vaporeon. Well, no one's discovering any new otter species. I feel like that's the same thing that's holding Mewtwo and Mew back. Mm-hmm. It's kind of when's the next time someone's going to discover a new cat species?
Yeah. The other thing I feel bad is that we have a Charizard bug. We have a Bulbasaur fossil, but Squirtle is getting zero love in this
list. Tracks. That
Squirtle,
tracks.
Squirtle's not even in the conversation. No. I feel like there has to be some sort of ancient turtle that we haven't discovered yet that we can name after Blastoise.
Yeah, well, one of these days we're going to find something which has a bunch of weird bulges on its back, and that's how we'll get into Blastoise reference.
Yeah,
there. I don't know. I'm trying to think. The problem is with Squirtle is it's very generic. I hate to say that. I give Squirtle crud all day long, but I actually am very fond of that Pokemon. But my issue is. Unlike Bulbasaur or even Pokemon like Charmander or Charizard, Squirtle is just a turtle, and I just don't think, maybe paleontologists who specialize in turtles just don't have the same love of Pokemon that the bug collectors do. Maybe it's a bug collecting thing. Who knows?
If you're a paleontologist in your life that does not like Pokemon and you want to send them this podcast, please refer them. I am determined to get the Squirtle evolutionary line some sort of animal named after it, because I just feel like this exclusionary practice isn't acceptable anymore.
I have a feeling we're going to get like so many like very polite, well-written, angry letters at us as we are currently mocking like, you know, the paleontology field and you know, entomology.
There is no mocking. There is only respect. I was that kid who went to like the Adventure Science Museum as a kid and only went to the archaeology pit. Like, dusted off the same dinosaur bones like 20 times every day and still kept coming back.
I was about to say, Nashville has a pretty good children's science museum too.
Yeah, we have an excellent one that has a bunch of really cool dinosaur stuff. I mean, that was my jam as a kid. And that was one reason I really loved, you know, Pokemon, because, you know, oh my God, they're basically dinosaurs in my opinion. And so that was an excellent thing. So I did not ultimately go that career route. So if anybody who did go that career route wants to talk to me about possibly getting a Pokemon named after Squirtle, please hit me up.
I think that about wraps up our deep dive for the week. We should hit our big old Poke fact of the week. This week we are nearing the end of the Pokedex. In fact, you know, by the Kanto Pokedex, we have like 800 more Pokemon to get.
Yeah,
to.
We're not by even close in that respect.
By a fun coincidence, episode 100 will feature my second favorite Pokemon, Articuno. I am very excited about that. But this week we are talking about Snorlax. To the surprise of no one, Snorlax has a surprisingly strong constitution. Apparently, not even Muk's incredibly potent poison can really bug its stomach. I believe I am pulling it up now. Let me get to its Pokedex entry. In Pokemon Sun, it talks about that even Muk's poison is nothing more than a hint of spice on Snorlax's tongue. I'm pretty sure that means that we have, at some point, a Snorlax has definitely eaten a Muk.
Oh, for sure. Or, like, part of a Muk. Like, I mean, you just, like, dip a finger and just try, I guess.
Here's the thing with Muk, you know, so that is what Snorlax's entry is. But Muk talks about how just one drop of Muk's body fluid can turn a pool stagnant and rancid. It talks about the fluid instantly kills plants and trees on contact. Touching it will accidentally cause a fever that requires bed rest. The point is, Muk, incredibly toxic and poisonous, but to Snorlax, it is absolutely nothing. That is really the only cool Pokedex entry about Snorlax. Otherwise, they're just like, yeah, Snorlax is a big cat. It likes to eat. What about it?
It basically, they're like, it is a 900-pound cat that does not move. It eats while it sleeps, and it is very docile once its tummy is full. So you can basically jump on it like a trampoline. However, if it has not had food, like, stay away.
Yeah.
For the love of everything, stay away. Because it will be angry.
My favorite is what sounds like its cry may actually be its snores or the rumblings of its hungry belly. I think it would be really funny if no one has actually heard what Snorlax really sounds like. That just cracks me up.
Like, they just don't know. I don't know. And in the comments, somebody, ToothButter5, just said, I would love to see a regional variant of Snorlax. And now the only thing I can think of is, what if in some crazy alternative world, like 3 generations from now, they make skinny Snorlax?
Oh no, that would
like
be
they
horrifying.
Make like it's not like it's just tiny Snorlax, like it doesn't like it's like super like super like doesn't eat or anything. I'm trying to envision how that would look, and like it's just not working.
Have you read the Sakamoto Days, the manga that Shonen Jump comes out?
Yes.
You know, that stars a retired hitman, and like one of the running gags is no one recognizes him because he's like settled down and he's put on a lot of weight. But whenever he like expends energy, he suddenly gets like super skinny. And like, you know, he like basically goes into overdrive mode. It's a really fun gag manga. I recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, if any of you are familiar with My Hero Academia, there's the hero Fat Gum, which basically like eats all the time, but when it goes into battle, expends all that energy, you know, becomes super freaking powerful. Like, I think that would be such an interesting regional variant idea for a Snorlax, is like that becomes a power. It can expend that energy and it becomes skinny Snorlax. And once it gets to that point, it's no longer a viable Pokemon for your strategy. Like, I know we started off talking about this as a gag, but now I think it would actually be a really interesting meta decision for that Pokemon.
I would want to see a buff Snorlax, like, you know, give me a Snorlax with abs.
Yeah, just like 8-pack Snorlax. if we gave Snorlax an 8-pack, he'd basically become Goku. I feel like he would just become like unbelievably powerful. So
I've always, obviously, as it is a cat Pokemon, I've always been a fan of Snorlax. But, like, you know, I feel like Ash's Snorlax, you know, like, in the Orange Island arc, especially, you know, always, like, showed up. And I also the fact that, you know, Ash totally dumped the Snorlax off to, you know, Professor Oak, just because he didn't want to feed it. He's like, you know what, you deal with this.
I mean, imagine how expensive that must be, though, like, in-game currency to feed, because it eats literally 24/7. It eats while it sleeps.
It eats a half ton of food a day. That is
wow. Like, that's not something anyone can afford, let alone a 10-year-old. I'm trying to, like, that's just too much. And then it makes me wonder, like, are there like subsidies available for, are there like food drives available for Snorlax trainers? What's the community like in the regions that, you know, Snorlaxes are prominent that you can you know?
Yeah.
I'm so curious about the general upkeep of the Snorlax and how that would change if there was a regional variant. So
I think it would be really funny if we had like a villainous team that was built around the fact of people who need to make money so they can feed their Snorlaxes. Like, you know, like, sorry, I'm going to have to beat you up and take all of your money because I got a giant cat to feed.
And yeah,
like that's like my sole motivation for turning to evil.
I have the biggest cat needing food. So we need to see. We need to see how much that is. What that kind of cost breakdown looks like for Snorlax.
Well, that is about all we've got for this episode. I hope that you have enjoyed this very pleasant gymless episode of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. If you want to support us, we super appreciate it. Of course, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us live if you're listening or watching us on Twitch. But if you want to continue supporting us, the easiest ways of doing that is leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify and all that jazz. If you do and we read it on the air, we will send you a t-shirt. We are aware that we have a backlog of t-shirts that need to be sent out. As soon as we're allowed to go back into our office, we will do that. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's the very first thing that Jim will do when he steps foot into the office sometime later this year. The other way you can support us is by following us on Twitter. Our Twitter, you can follow our main account at Comic Book, or you can follow our, sub Twitter for this podcast at Pokemon Pod CB. Alternatively, if you want to follow either myself or Megan, you can follow Megan at Megan Peters CB or me at C Hoffer C Bus.
And we are on the road to 100. We are desperately close.
Yes. So next week is our 100th episode. I don't 100% know. Oh yeah, I forgot. Follow us on Twitch. I forgot the really obvious one. Follow us on Twitch. And for our 100th episode, I don't 100% know what Jim has cooking, but I hear it's something pretty good. There may be a special guest involved. Don't quote me on that. Because, you know, who knows what has changed since
the special guest is him, because he'll be back. He will be the guest of our own podcast.
Okay, Megan, that is how we 100% have to treat it next week, is exactly. Jim as the special guest.
Exactly.
Oh, man. So until next time, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Be sure to follow and watch our other comic book podcasts. We have Comic Book Nation that runs on Wednesdays at noon, and Phase Zero, which is our Marvel podcast, which runs at Friday at noon. And that's Eastern time. So, you know, translate that to the other times as you see fit. Anyways, until next Monday, I am Christian Hoffer.
I am Megan Peters.
And thank you once again. Have a nice week, everyone.
Catch you later.